Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go.
Welcome to another episode of How We Scaled. Today we have Armand Kroom. Welcome, Armand. We've been talking beforehand. I'm excited about our topic today, which is finances. Everybody loves them or hates them.
A little of both. A little of both.
Trendy topic.
Yes, you definitely can.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
So I am actually prior military. So I was in the military from 2000 to 2004, graduated from Tulane University, got out of the military and decided I don't like working for people. So started my own financial planning company, started working with a company called First Command Financial Planning. And I've been working with clients ever since. The crazy thing about getting into financial planning at the time, because I majored in finance at Tulane, I did not realize I was going into a sales position. I know that's naive, but I thought people would be lined up to talk to me about their finances. Hey, what should I do? Things of that nature. And, you know, speaking of cringy subjects, I realized nobody wanted to talk to me about their finances.
You're the one that puts up in the party.
Oh, God, he's talking to me about finances. Okay, stop. And so I was like, oh, wait, I'm in a sales position. And so the crazy thing about being in a sales position, my clients didn't want to come in to see me, or the people who, you know, I wanted to talk to didn't want to come in to see me. And then I also was in a rat wheel of trying to make sales, trying to get clients, things of that nature. And what I realized at the time was it's really hard to focus on anything else but that. So if you go on vacation and if you are stressed out about work, you really are not on vacation. You are really, your mind drifts back to, oh my God, I just missed a week. I got to get back and make this up, or I got to make this phone call, or things of that nature. And so it was really hard to focus on family, friends, your health, or any other topic. Your sole focus really is on making money or making the sale and things of that nature. And so my clients also felt that, and I wasn't the best person I could be for my clients. And so I ended up switching from more of a sales oriented to a client services oriented. And by doing that, I did more of a subscription service. And so by doing a subscription service, I was able to work on myself. And what I found was clients were more willing to talk to me, and we were able to work on ourselves together. And so working with clients, I focused less on investments and life insurance and things of that nature, and focus more on their budget and keeping them from making bad decisions with their money. And what I found was when you are able to keep yourself from overextending yourself with these financial decisions that at the time sounds great, it literally takes away from your ability to be a better spouse, be that dad that you want to be that mom that you want to be, maybe do your work, read a book to your children at night. And so my main mission, since I've done that, you know, I've had such great successes with my clients, is to teach other people how to, when they're sitting at the kitchen table with their spouse, how do we make the right decision for our family unit, and so that they can be the best that they can be from a day-to-day basis. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're trying to decide whether or not to take your kids to Disneyland. How do we make that decision? And so I've come up with ways to help people to scale their family life up versus just going to Disneyland and then dealing with the repercussions of that bad decision later.
So one of the questions I have for you, I kind of want to go back to where you were military and you couldn't work for somebody else. So in case there are some military vets listening to this show, I have a friend that was a military vet that started coaching military vets to transition out of the military. And one of the things that she shared with me is how hard it is. You go from working with a team to into corporate, which is not team oriented. At all. And so it's really hard to transition and find your space in the world doing that. What are some of the things that you could share with our audience that you learned during that process?
Of transitioning?
Yeah.
Well, for me, especially when you going into the financial planning area, you kind of work by yourself instead of with a team. But I found that everyone moves differently. like when you come from a military background, I went on deployment and we worked 7 days a week, 12 hour, 16 hour days. That's just what you did.
And every so then day you're hustling.
Every day you hustle, right?
I'm like, standing at the water cooler having chit chats.
No. And then it was no point of asking people about how their day went. I know how their day went. They were on the ship with me. And so, you go into the civilian world and you got people complaining about how much work they have. And for you, it's kind of like,
really?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? This is nothing. This is nothing. This is easy compare. And so, the mentality there is a little bit different. For me, it was a little bit easier to transition because I didn't have to work with other people. I could see, if I had to, team up with somebody and their work ethic is just completely different than what I was used to, that could be frustrating. That could have been really frustrating. And to be honest with you, it's part of the reason why I have been hesitant to bring on advisors underneath me, because I know I would find that frustrating. You're whining to me about something. Uh-huh. And I just don't have the touchy feelies because, when you're in the military, you get it done. Here's the mission, get it done. I don't understand.
There's no other option for you, right?
I mean, do you want this or not? I don't know.
Yes. I understand. I can see that point of view. I was not in the military, but I can see your point of view of that. It's really difficult.
And then I was raised by a military dad who used to bust into my room in his camouflage pants. It's talking about get up, troops. And we'd be working in the yard all day. And don't cry about it either, because that's just what you do. I always try to explain to people, it's hard to describe something that you haven't experienced, right? Mm-hmm. So in your world, your life is hard because you have to go work, 8 hours a day or whatever the case. But I've already experienced 16-hour days. So in my world, this is nothing. So yeah. It's hard to deal with other people who haven't experienced what you've experienced.
So it's interesting that, you've had that hardcore, get it done. Don't cry. And yet you're in a very sensitive area of business that actually reflects a lot of emotion in people. And you're dealing with people, you're focusing on family, which is emotional. So how are you managing all that?
So, well, one, which makes me makes it easier to talk to me is, one, I've had my own financial struggles. So, the secret to financial advisors, when you first become a financial advisor, you are broke. You're advising people on money, wishing you could do what you were advising because you have no money. Okay. So when you first start, you're broke. Then on top of that, I had a wife and I had a kid, and this is around 2008. 2007, right before the housing market crash. And so, I'm $30,000 in debt, about to owe the IRS $30,000, broke, and more broke, about to lose my house and things of that nature. So, you know, what makes it easier for me to talk to families? I've been there. And so, again, I've experienced it. And so when people come in with their struggles and their issues, I've been there, probably even worse. So we can talk about that and they can feel safe to talk to me about it, because this has been a struggle for me. And what I don't want clients to do, or people who are listening to this, to make the same mistakes I made. So that's how it's easier for me to talk to them, because I am, and I actually love, I don't really like, I work with business owners, but I really love working with the newly engaged, newly married, just start a family client and saying, okay, let's go. Let's build you from $0 on up. Let's do it. And I want to make sure that you guys hardly ever fight about money, and then start scaling them up.
Wow. Hardly fight about money. Woo. Concept.
It's a crazy concept.
It's a crazy concept. Well, it is the number one reason for divorce, isn't it?
It is. And so, you know, again, that's why I start with people with a very easy budgeting system that I've created. And what I found is people typically marry their opposite, right?
Yes.
So I call them spenders and savers. So if you are a saver, you are attracted to the spender because they're adventurous and they're fun and they do things that you wouldn't normally do. And then when you get married, you're like, well, wait, you're spending my money now.
It's all fun and games.
Hey.
So you get married.
So what was cute before isn't cute anymore.
Right. So hey, you want to go to the movies? Let's get a burger while we're there. Let's get a drink. Hey.
The spender is like, wait, you knew me. Like, what? This is what you liked. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what I did was create a system so that the spender feels safe to spend and the savers feel safe. You know, they save enough and then they feel safe to spend.
Nice.
And that is much of a logical conversation as possible. And then the next step to that is creating a way so that the spender, if they say, you know, Armand, I want to buy a $60,000 car. Okay, well, then let's see what that looks like for our budget first before we buy that $60,000 car. Or here are some things that we need to do before we buy that $60,000 car. And we can practice before we buy that $60,000 car. And let's see if we can afford it and make sure that you still like your lifestyle with that car payment.
That is excellent advice. Excellent advice. Yes. Because it's, you know, you want the car, you get the payment. And then after the fact, you're cringing every month you're making that payment.
You're making that payment. And then on top of that, it has a negative impact on your family. Because at the end of the day, you know how kids are. They need braces. This happens. That happens. You know, and now all of a sudden you're scrambling, you know, for something that you really don't care about. Like when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be thinking about that car. Not at all.
Not unless you get buried with it. That's a way to go out. So how did you get to this? You had a financial business, and then you also created a second business to help people get to where you were going. How did you scale your first business to get to where you're at now?
So like I said before, I created a subscription business where people could come in and I charge a fee between $1,500 to $3,000 a year. And then that way my clients do not feel like I need to sell them anything. And, you know, I can give them advice on pretty much anything with a dollar sign. And like I said, I started off with basically zero clients and now we're up to about 100 clients. I literally see clients only 7 months out of the year. And then I am off during this time doing cool podcasts, 5 months out of the year. And what I found is people refer a lot of business because they don't feel like they're putting their friends in a salesy position. It's an interview process. If a client or someone says they don't want to work with me at the end of our interview, I say, okay. We've all been in those sales meetings where it's like, well, why? Well, what about this? Well, if you really don't want to do this, then no, I'm not going to chase you. If you want to do this, here's my value proposition. And what we do is we try to focus in adding value into their lives. And I try to do it in more than just investments and insurance. I try to do it as a father, a mother. Should you take those vacations? There's literally times where I'm like, you have $20,000 in your account. Either spend it on a vacation or invest it with me. I don't care which one you do, but do one or the other. Don't just leave it there. And so because we were able to do that, and because we are very strategic and very, like I said, I have an executive assistant and I have an administrative assistant, and we work 7 months out of the year. I don't take the 5 months off just to drink lemonade. It also gives my staff time to prep for the next set of progress meetings. It allows them to take their vacations and take their time off, lower their work down a little bit so that they can focus in on their families and be better for our clients together. And so we were able to scale this up to 100 clients and do this for everyone. And what the goal is to be the example and be the mentor for our clients. So now that I've gotten to 100 clients, I'm almost done, if you will. But I don't want to stop helping people to do this. So if you boil down what I do for my clients, in a nutshell, what we want to do is create a client base called the financial effect, where they still, I give them the baseline of how to make better financial decisions for their family so that they can achieve the same thing that I've helped with my clients.
I love that. I love that. And you're creating a great fan base by doing it this way. And the best form of marketing is getting your fans to refer you to somebody else. That is the best marketing ever.
So it's really nice. But you know, like I said before, doing this has changed my life so much. So I eat plant-based now. I work out. I get to take time off and spend it with my daughters. I get to make the connection. And one of the things that I try to do for my clients is, you know, for instance, let me give you an example. If you have a daughter, and I have three of them, you know one day she's going to get married. As a father, you know it's going to be the best and worst day of your life, right? And yeah. I'm losing my little girl, all right? And I put however many years into her. But you start when a new father brings his daughter in and sees me, we start a wedding fund. $100 a month, wedding fund. Whoa, you know you're going to pay for the wedding, right? And the reason for that is I don't want you stressing about money when it comes to the wedding. I want you to be in the moment at that time enjoying that. For your daughter, for your wife, I have $30,000 for the wedding. That's what it's for. We've been saving for it since day one. Here you go. And so what I'm trying to do is get my clients to be in the moment of their lives, whether it be high school, wedding, college, you know, holding hands with your spouse, whatever. You are not worried about money. Because we are planning for it, we're getting close to retirement, and I want to have that impact. And I feel like I'm having an impact on my clients' families because they're better fathers and better mothers, because they can focus more on that.
So what are some strategies for families that come to you and they're really in bad financial shape? They're having a hard time communicating with each other. What does that look like when they come to you, and how do you help them specifically?
So number one, it's like Vince Lombardi. This is a football, right? For me, this is a budget. So I have them create a budget worksheet, right? And obviously, you know, we have access to this on the financial effect. You create a budget worksheet. From that budget worksheet, what we do is we create an envelope system with your bank account. So we create a spending account. We create what we call a pay cash account, emergency savings, and a travel account. And sometimes this morphs into way bigger things, right? Like some people have home improvement accounts. I personally have a kids account, you know, for paying for school and things of that nature. And we separate the budget out so that everyone is on the same page as far as what we have to spend and for what. And so if your spouse is saying, hey, let's go out to eat, and we have a spending account and there's only $10 in that account, we can't go out to eat. Plain and simple. Right? It's a mechanism to remind you. What ends up happening is a lot of people worry about points on their credit cards, and then they get this big glob of money in their bank account, and you have four hands in it. And I'm married. I know my wife doesn't talk to me about everything that she's spending the money on, and neither do I. And then next thing you know, we're down to $100 in this big checking account. My kids need something. I'm blaming her. Well, if you hadn't have bought those wine glasses, we would have had the money. You know,
those darn wine glasses.
Well, that's my house. Maybe it's not yours.
Well, you know, it's those little things that actually can end up all the way to ridiculously a divorce.
Right. Yeah. And every month, the same thing happens. So we create a budget. And then I have a system of like, basically. So what I'm trying to do is focus in on finding financial leaders of a household. That's the other thing that I find. Someone's the financial leader. I don't know who it is, but someone is the financial leader. The financial leader is the person who is usually the saver. Doesn't care what car they drive, don't really care about any, you know, looks or things of that nature. Someone is more the saver than the other. And it ain't always the man, and it ain't always the woman. But it's somebody, typically. And you have to figure out a way to tell your spender no. And so one of the ways to do that is to have a spending account. That way, you're not the one telling them no. And kind of the example that I gave earlier with car, hey, let's test it out and see. You want a $60,000 car. That's fine. Let's put a $60,000 car is going to cost you about $1,000 a month in a payment. Let's take that $1,000 a month for 6 months to a year and put it in an emergency savings account and see if we can do it without touching it. And so I have basically five questions that you should ask yourself when you're making these financial decisions. If you're a financial leader, is one, are you in debt at the time of the purchase? So don't talk to me about a $60,000 car. We have credit card debt.
No.
If I can't pay off this $20,000 credit card debt, we're not buying a $60,000 car. Just, I'm sorry. $15,000. I mean, and if you say we need a car. And so that was the other thing. You know, one of the other questions, let me go through the questions. And then can we comfortably afford this $60,000 car? And then the third question is it a need or a want? Then does this goal have a positive impact on the family? Like, does the car have a positive impact on the entire family? Not just you, the entire family.
Right.
I don't think your kids care if you drive an Infiniti. They don't care. And then lastly, does this goal cause any constraints on your family budget? So, you know, I get that you need a car. You just don't need a $60,000 car.
Right.
You know, Disneyland. Don't talk to me about going to Disneyland if we have $20,000 in debt. Don't. I mean, yes, will that have a positive impact on your family, creating memories and things of that nature? Yeah, but let's pay off our debt first before we go, because it's going to cause financial constraints, because your kid's going to be braces, and apparently that's $4,000. You know,
crazy, right? Kids are expensive. Yeah. Yeah. And I could see where, you know, you want to go to Disney and it's great and it's fun, but there's so many ways that you can create fun, memorable things with your kids. And a lot of times Disney can be very stressful. It's hot and it can be miserable. And the things that I find that kids remember when I talk to people about those vacations is when they're in the pool, not Disney World itself. It's like the hotel pool. Just go to a local hotel
and get away. You can do this much cheaper.
Yeah.
And so I like to think of, you know, and some people think I'm crass for saying this, but a family is a business.
It is. I like the way you said that. It really is.
A family.
You're creating your legacy.
You're creating your legacy. You are trying to leave a positive impact on your children. You are trying to manage your spouse. It's a business.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have inflows and outflows, and you need to manage that and make sure that the business is good, meaning the family is happy and supported. And so when you look at it from that point, I always say, put your family first by putting your money first.
I like that.
You put your money first. So if you're in debt, no, we are not doing that because we are in debt. I'm not talking about car debt. I'm not talking about mortgage, but I'm talking any other debt beyond that, not even student loan debts, but any other debt outside of that. And then if you can't afford the car payment, then, you know, you might want to consider that. But you put your family first by putting your money first, because, again, when you talk to older people about their lives, they care about spending more time with their children, spending more time with their spouses, being on the dance floor with their friends. They don't talk about the car. They don't talk about a house. They don't talk about freaking Disneyland or whatever. You know, they talk about those moments, and you can create those moments without spending a whole lot of money. Now, if you can afford to do those comfortably without causing stress, because also your children feel that stress. And I will also submit to you that if you are running your family like a business, then and you follow my steps, you will be in better position to do better at your job and what it is that you focus in on. And then if you hate your job, you're less afraid to quit that job and go do something that actually makes you happy.
Now, that is powerful stuff right there. How many people are prisoners of their jobs?
I can't quit because I got kids. But if you, let's say, you know exactly how you're. So we create the spending account, right? I know that my wife or my, you know, we live off of $1,000 per month. I know exactly. And we're making $2,000-$3,000 more than what we actually need. Then I know what job I can go to even if it's less money, but that would actually make me happy. And then my family doesn't even feel the effects of that. And if you hate your job, you should start thinking about when I get an increase in pay or when my spouse gets an increase in pay, we're going to not change our budget. Because what ends up happening is we all get pay increases. And what do? We spend it. And there's no way for us to. Hey, we can't go back to what we used to make. That'd be crazy. Oh, my God.
Oh, and then we're ready for the next raise.
And so then you're in this rat wheel and you don't even know how you got there. And then you still fight. Everyone thinks, oh, if I just get this extra $10,000 or I get all my problems will be solved. And what they realize is because they don't have control over their money and the inflows and outflows, and they don't have a systematic way of deciding whether or not they should do something. When you're running a business, you analyze this stuff. All I'm doing and all I'm telling you to do is when you're making a financial decision, you need to analyze that decision and make sure it's right for the business, right for the family.
So how can people reach out to you, Armand, and get connected to you? You've added so much value to our listeners in this podcast. I'm so grateful. You've been fantastic. Unfortunately, our time is up, but I hate that. I hate that it's a short podcast because there's so much, I'm sure, more we could talk about. How can they reach out to you and get connected?
So you can connect to me on Facebook at thefinancialeffect.com or at the Financial Effect. My website is thefinancialeffect.com. My email address is armand@croomfinancial. You can subscribe to me at thefinancialeffect.com. There's Instagram. You can get to me any way you want to.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Armand.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.